Our guest at the cafe this morning is Dr. Kemp Montgomery, head of the Department of Physics and Astronomy at A&M Commerce. Good morning.
Good morning.
A while since we visited with you, and you're no longer head of the planetarium.
No, I've moved over to be head of the Physics and Astronomy Department.
Well, and Cherie Davis is your longtime aide is running things at the planetarium.
Yeah, she's the new planetarium director.
All right, good. Well, we're going to look ahead to 2019 in astronomy and space activity. And the first big thing coming up, and this is, and we'll talk about this in a minute, either January 20th or the 21st, and we'll establish that, a super blood wolf moon eclipse. Boy, that sounds dramatic.
Yeah, and it's visible from here, too, so that's exciting.
Yeah, even better. So this is really just three different things all in one.
Yes.
A super moon.
Super moon means that the moon's slightly closer because its orbit isn't circular, so at times it gets closer, which means it's a little bit bigger, it's a little bit brighter.
Mm-hmm. And a blood moon.
Blood moon is an eclipse because when it passes into the shadow of the Earth, the light from the Earth, I mean, the atmosphere of the Earth actually refracts some light from the sun. And so there gets this reddish color and it turns very red, sometimes a real deep red like blood. So
is that where the phrase blood on the moon comes from? I think that there's a reference to that in the Bible, for one thing.
Some people think that is, yes, especially a prophesied one when the moon will turn like blood.
Yeah, yeah. And then the wolf moon.
The wolf moon is just the first full moon in January. So each month has a full moon. There's a name for each of them, and the wolf moon is the January one.
So it's dramatic sounding, but nothing particularly extraordinary. But a super blood wolf moon eclipse. And I have this 11:12 p.m. Central Time, so that would be January 20th.
Yes.
Us.
Yes. So the eclipse starts, you'll start to see notice significant things around about 10:30 or so, but then it goes into totality around 11 p.m., but then it carries over. The totality will last over an hour, and so it'll carry over into the next day, which is why they say 20th and 21st.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So on the 20th is, the night of the 20th is when you want to be out observing it.
Late that night, 11:12 p.m. is the time we have. That's a Sunday night. That's a reasonable hour, not 3 o'clock
not
in the morning.
We're going to have our observatory open as an open house, so anybody can come to it. Check out our website. I'll give you more details.
Great. That is that Sunday night, January 20th. And we have 3 supermoons during the year.
Yes, that's typical.
Yeah. But that's exciting because, I mean, to the average person, that moon really does look much larger than it normally does.
Yeah, and especially if you can catch it like right as it's rising.
Oh, yeah.
That's beautiful. And then it really looks bigger than normal.
Yeah, it's extraordinary. We're talking with Dr. Kemp Montgomery, head of the Department of Physics and Astronomy at A&M Commerce. Several meteor showers. We had just one a few days ago. I don't think we could have seen it because of the cloud cover, but presumably the best is coming up Monday, May 6th, and this is the Eta Aquarids meteor shower.
Yeah, Aquarids, yes.
Oh, thank you. Say that again.
Aquarids is named for the constellation Aquarius.
I got it.
All the meteor showers are named for the constellation that they appear to be coming from.
I see. Mm-hmm. Monday, May 6th, and these are remnants from Halley's Comet.
Yes. Yeah, so in Halley's Comet's orbit, there's just debris all through the orbit, so every time we pass through that point each year, we're going to get a meteor shower.
Mm-hmm. Something coming up this year, Monday, 6:34 a.m., Monday, November 11th, a rare transit of Mercury.
Yes, and that will be interesting. The thing is, you can't really see it unless you have a telescope that can look at the sun
with
protection, but you'll just see a little dot passing across Mercury. I've seen a couple of those. They're not all that rare. Venus transits are very rare, but Mercury ones occur every few years or so.
In space exploration, a lot of discussion about China landing a craft on the moon, on the dark side of the moon here just a few days ago. But I read that Israel and India are going to land crafts on the moon.
Yeah, they all have plans too. So it's getting exciting. You know, up until now, it's been just Russia and us that have landed things on the moon. And so, yeah, China just a couple days ago landed on the backside of the moon. We don't like the term dark side because it's kind of a misnomer. It gets as much light as the front,
but that goes
back to ancient history. But yes, they're the first ones to land a craft on the backside of the moon. So, and China is planning in the future to actually send men back to the moon. They got an ambitious program going.
Are they ahead of us in that score?
We have no plans to go back to the moon.
I've heard some discussion.
I shouldn't say that. It comes and goes. It depends on what Congress is thinking at the time.
They're more serious about it than we are.
Oh, yeah.
At the moment. But I read that Israel and India, I mean, that is imminent.
Yeah. They have planned launches this year to land probes. No people, just land probes on the moon. Both of them.
Mm-hmm. And this will be, this year, we'll no doubt have tremendous observance of this, and I'm looking forward to it. The 50th anniversary of the Apollo 11 landing on the moon will be this year.
Yes. That's exciting, isn't it?
That is exciting.
It's hard to think it was that long ago, wasn't it?
It's impossible to think about it being 50 years ago. It just simply can't be true, and yet it is. But so that'll come in July, and boy, that's going to be...
Yeah, July 20th, 1969.
That will be exciting. So we're looking forward to that this year. SpaceX and Boeing are both possibly going to send astronauts, U.S. astronauts, into space, and we haven't been doing that ourselves for a while.
Right. Since the shuttle stopped, we've been hitching rides to the space station on the Russian rockets. And so, but SpaceX has developed what they call their Dragon, which takes humans into space. It successfully did launches without humans, and so hopefully by the end of this year they'll be actually taking U.S. people back into space up to the space station.
Right. So, and I read Boeing is interesting.
Boeing's involved in them, and there are several other companies that are doing like tourist industries.
Right.
Virgin Galactic is close, and they hope to this year actually send people into space. So,
and that'll be something to talk about too when that happens. Kent, thanks for having a cup of coffee with us, Gary.
You're welcome.
Dr. Kent Montgomery, head of the Department of Physics and Astronomy at A&M Commerce. You're starting the day with Morning Edition on your station 88.9 KETR.